I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
Matthew 21, 33 through 46. Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he leased it to tenants and went to another country. When the harvest time had come, he sent his slaves to the tenants to collect his produce. But the tenants seized his slaves and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again, he sent slaves, more than the first, and they treated them in the same way. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, "They will respect my son." But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and get his inheritance." So they seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. Now, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? They said to him, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death and lease the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the produce at the harvest time." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures, 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone'? This was the Lord's doing, and it is amazing in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that produces the fruits of the kingdom. The one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and it will crush anyone on whom it falls." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they realized that he was talking about them. They wanted to arrest him, but they feared the crowds because they regarded him as a prophet. May God add his blessings to the reading of his word.
Thank you, Julia. Appreciate the reading. Before I begin, I want to thank all of you. You've blessed me, and I know you've heard me say this before, but I mean it, and I want to say it again. I'm in the middle of my 38th year of ministry, and I have truly never been blessed by a congregation as I have here at Central Christian Church. So thank you, each and every one of you. When we read this scripture, when we hear these words, I don't know what word comes to mind for you, but the word that comes to me is gratitude. The quality of being thankful, readiness to show appreciation for and to return kindness. Gratitude, that's a word we don't get to hear very much in our society today, but it's something that's very much needed. It would be nice if a lot of us would get around our areas and show some gratitude for things in our lives. But also another thing I think of when I think of this scripture is the story of two golfers, and I hope you will allow me to step out, because if I stay there, I'll sleep. But I'm going to tell you the story about these two golfers, and one of them was an older golfer like John Cobb. The other one was a younger golfer like Randy King. And so these two golfers are out, and they're playing, and the younger golfer has a temper. He gets upset real easy. And so right off the bat, he slices a shot, and it goes off into the grass. He gets upset, and he's saying all kinds of bad things. And so he's playing along, and he hits the ball again, and it gets even worse. He's on a par four, and he's up to about eight. And he is just furious. So this goes on the next hole and the next hole. And finally, he turns to the caddy, the younger golfer, and says, "I can't believe you. You're so dumb. If you would help me, I could do better. You need to keep your eye on the ball. You need to do a better job of helping me. You're just the worst caddy ever." Well, they get up to nine holes, and he's been ranting and raving and chewing out this caddy the entire time. After the ninth hole, he fires him, grabs his bag, and says, "I don't even want you. Get out of here. You're no help to me." The older golfer just watches. So the young golfer, he carries his bag, and he's mumbling to himself, "I don't like that caddy. That caddy didn't like me. I don't like him. I don't want anything to do with him. He's just terrible. He's made my whole game bad." Older man doesn't say a word. They play 2-3 more holes. Things don't change. Then the older golfer says, I want to tell you a story. There was a young man who came up from a very poor area to this country club and became a caddy at this golf course. He was a great young man. He had a great eye for golf. He gave great instruction. He was good. The only problem is he had a club foot. Well, there was a doctor who was a member of the country club, and he took a liking to this young boy, and the boy's name was William. In fact, he liked him so much that one day he said, you know, I'm going to be going away for a few weeks, and I'd like for you to go with me. William said, okay. So he joined the doctor. He went away. He came back, was still a caddy, said he continued to go and go, and a few weeks after he got back, the doctor got sick and died. He said, then the boy was my caddy. And we're going along playing, and this young boy, William, walks over, flowers are in bloom, and he starts collecting them until he has a really nice bouquet. And I said to the boy, what are you doing? You have a girlfriend? He blushed and he said, no, sir, I don't have a girlfriend. But ever since the doctor died, I get flowers and take them to his grave twice a week and put fresh flowers. The older golfer said, and that's the story of William. The young golfer says, what a great guy. Why can't I get a caddy like that? Where is this William? The older golfer said, you just fired him. After 9 holes, you fired him. You know, a lot of people are ungrateful. A lot of people are insensitive. A lot of people don't see the good around them. And this young golfer didn't see the good in William because he was too busy blaming him for everything he did. Every time the guy made a bad shot, it was the caddy's fault. You golfers ever know anyone like that? They start blaming everybody for their own bad playing. What about people in society? Bad things happen and they blame others, and they might be the cause of the bad things. Some people get so angry they go out and they start shooting people like in Las Vegas. Isn't that weird? Everyone's to blame but them. And they're the problem. So Jesus tells this story, and as he tells this story, he talks about how these people are ungrateful. The tenants, think about the tenants. The guy who built the vineyard didn't have to give them anything to work on. They were blessed that he leased the land to these people. And what did they do? They killed him. They killed his slaves, they killed his son, because they were ungrateful. Do you know people in your life that are ungrateful? I want you to think about how we as a people can actually show our gratitude not only to others, but to each other. Oftentimes in a church, it gets to the point where we don't even look around us and see that there are people right next to us that we could show gratitude to. How many of us are like the young man and we get angry and we blame everybody for our problems? Everybody but us. I would tell you, and I've told you about this a few months ago, about a good friend of mine that was in the Navy with me. And I still can't talk about it, but I'll tell you this about him. He was a great guy, and he was all about other people. He never said a word of criticism unless it was constructive, and it came across as constructive. I was what they called a 4-0 sailor. I moved up fast. I moved up through the rates and the ranks and got to the top. But the reason was because of him. He was a great leader, a great encourager, a great teacher. Never blamed anyone for anything that went wrong, but he was all about getting it fixed. Gratitude. When have you shown gratitude? To whom have you shown gratitude? Sometimes the person we need to show gratitude is our spouse. Show gratitude to them, or our children, or our parents. How many times have people left this world and someone said, I never told them I loved them? I never told them thank you for all the things that they did for me. Jesus said there was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he leased it to tenants and went to another country. Why? Because he trusted them. Why else would you do that? Nowhere does this parable say the landowner had to lease it to them. Nowhere does it say he's obligated. He just does it and trusted. And what did he get? We could call it greed. Maybe that was it. Let's kill the son, get the inheritance. Greed. But you know, we can be greedy with a lot of things. We can be greedy with our praise. We can be greedy with our thankfulness. Oftentimes when we hear the word greed, we think of money. But greed covers a multitude of sins. Do you not find it strange that people can find time to criticize but not compliment? That they always manage to find time to tell you what you're doing wrong but not what you're doing right? I had a woman in counseling about 12 years ago, and when she sat down, I always ask them, what's your presenting problem? Her problem was that she was married 5 times, and she said every one of them were a loser. As we spoke, and I got to hear more of her story, what I found out about her is she didn't know how to love or be loved. She didn't know what it was because she was in a family that never hugged, never kissed, never said thank you, never showed appreciation. So when she got married, if the person was actually giving her the love that she wanted, she didn't know that's what it was. So they were losers. Some of us don't know how to be loved. Some of us don't know how to love. Some of us don't even have a clue what that means, the word love. And so what happens? Things start falling apart. Jesus knew what love was. Jesus told us. And if we read the Gospels and we read the words of Jesus, we'll know what love is. Love is giving. Love is not tearing down but building up. Love is being there for people and telling them and encouraging them and saying, you're good, you're doing great. Or if they make a mistake, that's okay. You'll do better next time. Not ripping them up. But all too often we want to. So Jesus said, therefore I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to people that produces the fruits of the kingdom. In other words, the kingdom of God will be taken away from those who are ungrateful, who have no gratitude for what God has given you. God gave the chief priests and the Pharisees his people to nurture. You know, you hear people say, we're the chosen people. I've even heard Christians say that, we're the chosen people. What do you think you were chosen for? In Jesus' time, the Jews like to say, we're the chosen people. If you're not like us, you're not good enough. But what God said is, I chose you to be a light to the world. What I chose you for is to show others the way to me. And instead, you're using it as a way to push them back. You're greedy with your own faith. You don't want to share. Even Paul ran up against that. Paul comes to the disciples and he says, hey, I met some Greeks. And they're willing to listen and they want to be Christian. And the disciples said, make sure you circumcise them first because they must be Jews to be Christians. Paul was upset. What do you mean? That's not what the Lord said. Oh, but you can't be a Christian without being a Jew first. Where would we be in today's world if that had to happen? Paul took that and said, no, that's not going to happen. I am not going to require that they do that. What I'm going to require is that they love God with all their heart and all their mind and all their soul. And that's what is required of them. And that's how he got the Greeks and the Romans and all these people to build churches, to be a community of faith. I'm going to tell you a story about a little girl. When I was in Brazil, And I've told you part of this. This one little girl, her name was Liziani. I was going downtown Porto Alegre, and I was just walking. And when you walk, believe me when I say you've got these children hanging off of you begging, sometimes trying to steal from you. But I was walking down the street, and this little girl started tugging on my pants, and she said, "Food, food." And I kind of brushed her off. You know why? Because in Brazil at that time, and it's probably worse now, there were 8 million street children. 8 million. You couldn't feed them all. You couldn't give them all money. There was not enough resources. But this little girl stayed with me, and she kept pulling on my pant leg. And I said, "Well, honey, you know, maybe later, maybe later," trying to put her off. And she just held onto my pant leg and walked with me. I realized I had an anchor. I stopped. I dropped to my knees, and I said, "Honey, what's your name?" She said, "Liziani." Now, I will tell you, I was speaking Portuguese, because that's what she spoke. But she told me her name was Liziani. I said, "All right, honey, come with me." 6 months after I arrived in Porto Alegre, they built a McDonald's, the first McDonald's they'd ever seen. So I took her to McDonald's. This little girl was amazed at this fantastic, wonderful American restaurant. How many of us look at McDonald's that way? But for her, it was something glorious. It was an American restaurant. So I took her in, and I got her a Big Mac, got her some fries, and got her a drink. And I sat with her. And she ate every bit of it so fast, I didn't even get a chance to see it go down. And she looked at me and said, "Food." So I got her another Big Mac. And that went like that. And then she was happy. She just sat there staring at me. And I said, "Liziani, honey, I gotta go." She said, "Thank you." 6 years old. Six. She'd been living in the streets since she was about 2. I left. Left the town, went back up to my church, Acacio Galart, got in there. The Germans had just given us a bunch of money. They'd come and visited. So from Germany, a church in Germany had received about $20,000, built a new church, a social center, about 3 months later. I went back downtown, and I looked, and there stood Liziani. And she just smiled. And I took her by the hand, and I said, "Come with me." We got on a bus. We went back out to my area where the church was, took her into the social center. They gave her clothing, food, and a place to sleep. That was one out of 8 million. She wasn't the only one who asked. But folks, if you save one person, you've done something. If you save a person every day, you've really done something. Christ called us to help people. Christ called us to include them in our family. They're one of us, not one that needs to do something to be us. They are part of us. They're one of God's children. I remember the words of Shakespeare after Liziani. He said, "O Lord that lends me life, lend me a heart replete with thankfulness." I'm not a big Shakespeare fan, but that was one of my favorites from Shakespeare. You see, I was thankful for Liziani because if it hadn't have been for her persistence, it would have been just another child ignored. But she wasn't going to let go till she got what she wanted. And I feel God tugging on my pant leg. I see God in our community out here asking for help. What do you do with that? How do you help 8 million street children? It's an overwhelming task. So Jesus tells this parable, and he's looking at these chief priests and these elders and all these people who say, "We're the chosen ones." And Jesus says, "If you're chosen, be a light unto the world. Show gratitude to your God by serving the people around you, whether they're Jews, whether they're Muslims, whether they're whatever they are, it doesn't matter. Show them love. You know why? Because God created every one of them. Every one of them. There is not a human being on the face of this earth that God did not create. We are all children of God. If you show gratitude today, know that you are carrying out the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the king will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." Did you see anything in there? It says, as you did it to any of these Jews or Christians? Is there anything in there that tells you it's a select group? No. "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." I ask that you look at your spouse, at your family, at your children, at your parents, your grandparents, great-grandparents, and ask yourself, when was the last time I showed gratitude? When was the last time I said to them, "Thank you, just for being you, for being with me"? I promise you this, regardless of their response when you thank them and show your gratitude, your life will be richer and your heavenly Father will be filled with joy that you did. And so Jesus tells the parable. And they get mad and they say, "Hey, he's talking about us. He's saying we're ungrateful." And he was. Because you're the light of the world. Are you a light, or are you leading people into darkness? Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we come before you today knowing that sometimes we are not the people we should be, and sometimes we neglect to show our gratitude to others. I give you thanks here and now for this congregation, for this church, and to be in this community. I give you thanks for each one in this congregation. Lord, they are your children. That makes them my brothers and sisters, all of them. Be with us. Hold us in your loving arms. Guide us and fill us with your Holy Spirit, for we ask this in your Son's name. Amen.
We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.